will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but a...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here today are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, hopefully they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone, but we haven't been able to reach him so far, so... If you would like to call in, why, we'd be glad to hear from you. Otherwise, I'm going to just start talking about what he talks about in his series of lectures on the final countdown. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, how do we know the Bible is true after all? I mean, it was just written by a group of men. It's got a lot of good philosophy in it. But how do we know that this is the inspired Word of God? And we know that it's the inspired Word of God because the prophecies that were described in the Bible have come to pass. I mean, we can look at the prophecies in the Old Testament, and of course you go back to Daniel, and he was describing all the great empires that were to come, and he prophesied and described the great empires that laid ahead, and he was certainly in Babylon during the captivity 600 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. And then, of course, he talked about, you know, when the Messiah would be born. And, of course, the Jews had always looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, and he was able to tell you exactly how many weeks or years there were going to be between the time when Cyrus would become the ruler of Persia, of that area, and then, of course, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. But as we look at what's going on today, why, of course, it was prophesied that in the latter days, why the man of sin would be exposed before the Messiah would return. We were told that the Jews would return to the Holy Land. This is the first time, 1948, after almost 2,000 years in exile, that the Jewish people returned to the Holy Land. And why God wants them there at this time, I don't know. Certainly there's a lot of unfairness as far as the Palestinians are concerned. And there certainly are bad things we can criticize, and both the Israeli government, the Palestinian government, the Arab governments. But that's not for me to judge. God prophesied that the Jews would return to the Holy Land, and they have returned to the Holy Land. A lot of people say, well, that's just one item. I mean, that just could have happened by accident. But there's so many other things that have happened. And we can see, and anybody who's ever listened to our programs and analyzed what we're talking about, there's never been a time in all history when it would be possible to bring all the nations of the world into a one world government. What if it would be possible to have a cashless society? And that's the most amazing thing about what's going on today is that, remember, 120 years ago, the major means of transportation was still the horse. I mean, look at the things that have happened in the last 120 years. And, of course, a lot of this happened during my lifetime and the advances that we've seen. But for the first time in all history, we have the ability really to look forward to the possibility of a cashless society in the world. There is an organized effort on the part of the wicked people, or I refer to them certainly as Luciferian movements, secret societies which worship Lucifer, to actually bring about this one world government and a one world currency, and to create a situation where you'll neither buy nor sell unless you wear the mark of the beast or be known by the number of his name. Well, Pastor Billy is with us, and so we're going to be with him here in just a moment. Hi, Pastor Billy. How are we doing?
Good to be on.
Well, thank you so very much, and we're going to be, we'll let you get started here in just a moment. This is Pastor Billy Crone of the Frontier Niagara, the Niagara Frontier Bible Church. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty to discuss the final countdown, the countdown towards Armageddon. Well, Pastor Billy, you pick up the story.
Well, you know, that's just it. Just thinking on my way in for the interview, Dr. Monteith, that just, you know, the words of Jesus and how he said that, you know, at his coming, he said, I'm going to give you, obviously, several clues, and that's what the final countdown is all about. God, because he cares about people, he's given us many signs to indicate so we don't have to be caught on guard. But he specifically also gives us insight into the attitudes of people in that day and what it would be like. And he said in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, learn this lesson from the fig tree. He says, as soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know, and he's talking about his second coming, you know that it is near, right at the door. And, of course, Matthew 24 is one of the many classic passages that deals with the signs of the times, the signs of the last days. How do you know when we're fast approaching the last days? And, of course, tonight we're dealing with the one of the 10 that we dealt with on the final countdown, and that's simply the one world economy. And really excited to finally get to this one, Dr. Monteith, because this one is, I mean, they're all happening extremely fast. I can hardly even keep up with the information, and I teach on this virtually every week in one fashion or another, Bible prophecy, and I can hardly even keep up with it. But this one is happening so abundantly before our eyes, and but yet that's the problem. Most people haven't a clue what to look for, so they don't realize that the time is near. The trees, the figs are ripe. It's about to take place. And with the evidence of the one world economy, the Bible's very clear that that's exactly what's going to happen in the last days. And, of course, it's talking about the Antichrist kingdom. The Antichrist kingdom, we already saw, is going to be based on a couple of different things. One is it's going to be on the back of the one world religion. Why? Because that's at the heart of the Antichrist, who is empowered and given his authority by Satan himself, who wanted to be God. That was his downfall in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be worshipped above all. And so it's not surprising that the Antichrist wants to be worshipped above all, and that's exactly what's going to happen. Daniel 9:27, and Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians that the Antichrist, halfway into the seven-year tribulation, is going to go up into the rebuilt Jewish temple, which is happening before our very eyes also, and he's going to declare himself to be God. Then we're going to see the one world government rise. And, of course, with his authority, he's going to have a stronghold like never before. And he's going to dictate authority over everyone. If you don't worship his image, you will be killed. And we saw that before. Why? Because that's the heart of Satan as well. The Bible says, Jesus said he's a murderer. And he's been a murderer from the beginning. We are headed toward the most tyrannical, not just tyrannical, murderous.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I guess this afternoon, of course, is Pastor Billy Crone, and we're talking about the coming world economy. And, of course, we're moving towards a one-world economy. It should be obvious to everybody, but we look at it from a financial point of view. We look at perhaps from a structural point of view, a monetary point of view, but we don't look at it from a scriptural point of view, and it really is impossible to understand any of the significant things that are going on today unless we put them into a biblical focus. And this is one of the big problems of today, is that most of our ministers don't like to talk about prophecy, and so most of our Christians are unprepared for what is really transpiring today. And the scriptures are important, but the question is, how do they apply to the things that are unfolding? So we're talking about the unfolding world economy. Go right ahead, Pastor.
Well, that's just it. You know, okay, so fine. Maybe I don't want to go along with this one world religion, the Antichrist system. I don't want to worship you. Maybe I'm just going to hide out from your tyrannical, murderous government, whatever. But see, of course, he's thought of everything. He's had, quite some time to kick around and get this plan to come into place, and which, by the way, isn't catching God off guard. So he's going to hit people where it hurts. He's going to, frankly, hit them at the God that they worship, and their God is money. Money is power, of course, as the saying goes, and follow the money trail and things of that nature. There's a lot of truth to that. And so if you don't want to worship him and you don't want to bow and eat before his government, you won't be able to buy or sell. You won't be able to eat. And that's exactly what the book Revelation says. Revelation 13 says, "Then I saw another beast come up out of the earth, and he exercised all authority of the first beast. And he required all the earth and those who belong to this world to worship the first beast." Of course, he's talking about the false prophet who dupes the world into worshiping the Antichrist. "He required everyone, great and small, rich and poor, slave and free, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And no one, the whole planet, folks, no one could buy or sell anything without that mark." And so according to this passage of Scripture, one amongst many, the Bible says there's clearly coming a day when all the inhabitants of the earth, all of them, not a section of the world, not a part of the world, but the whole world is going to be under an economy of the Antichrist himself, who controls all the world's buying and selling. One day the Bible clearly predicted that the whole world is going to be unified into a one-world economy that is satanically inspired. And you're absolutely right, Dr. Monteith. Most people don't even understand about what's going on and with the one-world economy. They're just, you know, make sure that, you know, I get my 401k back or something like that. But even those who realize that there is a deliberate plan to usher in a one-world economy through this manufactured crisis, and that's what this is, it's going on, it's being done on purpose, folks, but they don't get the spiritual element behind it, and they just think it's just some natural power-hungry people, which it is. But there's a spiritual agenda behind it, and it's a satanic agenda, the Bible says. It's the Antichrist system. And the way that we know that we're headed for that, folks, is because there's already been some things that have been put into place. First of all, if you put yourself logically, if you will, in the Antichrist system, how is one guy, Antichrist, whatever, how is one person going to be able to control all the economies of the whole world? Okay? Literally down to whether a person, he literally has his hands on the button, so to speak, a person could buy or sell. I mean, that sounds absolutely amazing. How could that ever happen? Well, there's several things that he's already put in place. And the first thing that's already been put in place, folks, is a universal banking system. Okay? If you're going to have a one-world economy, you've got to have a universal banking system so that you can dictate universal monetary exchange, right? It's common sense. Well, folks, that's already happened, folks. It's been happening for quite some time. In fact, already there is in place plans for absolute total economic control of the whole world. There's already a universal bank called the World Bank. It's the world's leading lender of money to the nations around the planet. But wait a second. If you're going to have a universal bank, you've got to have a universal lending institution to oversee all this stuff, right? Well, that's what we have, what's called the IMF, or the International Monetary Fund, and that oversees the whole world's financial system. And they even fix the exchange rates. Okay, but wait a second. If you're going to have a universal lending institution, you've got to have a universal money exchanger, because you've got to funnel all this different money to the different countries, right? Well, folks, that's why they got universal electronic banking systems out there. One of them, of course, is called SWIFT. And that's exactly what it does. And then we'll get to in a little bit, you make it even more simplified. You can just get rid of all those currencies and go to a single currency. We'll get to that in a second. But wait a second. If you're going to have all this in place, what about those who don't want to go along with the system? What if they don't want to go along with a global monetary system? Well, you need to have some sort of a strong arm, if you will, to punish those who don't obey this world banking system. And, folks, that's what one of the roles of the World Trade Organization has been. It sets the trading rules for the whole world. And not only that, though, it punishes, folks, all countries who do not obey them with billion-dollar fines and sanctions. And, yes, it happens here in America. Okay, and folks, lest you don't think that people are serious about forming this one-world economy, what in the world do you think was going on with the birth of the euro? For the first time, what happened with that event, folks, in the history of mankind, of modern Western civilization? You had a multitude of nations coming under what? One unified currency. And if you look at the mandate that these people do when they usher in a one-world religion, government, or economy, even the mark of the beast, okay, what you do, the classic tactic historically, is you start at the extremes and then you work your way towards your ultimate goal. You create a crisis, you can manage the outcome. And so the euro, in my mindset, was a brilliant first step, work out the bugs, kind of get people used to it, certainly countries used to it, the world used to other countries doing it before they themselves get into it, of a multitude of nations coming under unified currency. Recently, Robert Mundell, he's considered the godfather of the euro, he gave a blueprint for a single world currency, and since the initial, because this has been going on for some time. In fact, you can go to the European Commission's website, folks, and you could see a video that they produced of the history of a one-world currency. Okay, they're not hiding anything. This is their absolute plan. But it was shot down more than 50 years ago by the U.S., but recently he's stated this. This is the godfather of the euro. He said, "It is now time and useful and in the United States' interest to move towards a global monetary reform and to provide some leadership. The lessons we learned from the creation of the euro could help move toward a one-world currency." And then, of course, what he had said, this is classic, folks. Pay attention to what's going on right now in our economy. He also agreed that we would probably, here in America, never go along with this. Of course not. Not America. So he proposed that we would be forced into it, quote, economically. Well, folks, what in the world do you think is happening right now? What do you think is going on? We are being forced to go into this economically. And this is not some wacko conspiracy theory, folks. This is an agenda. It is a plan, okay? Listen, folks, if you've been paying attention to the news, what's going on? If you just get your eyes off the Dow Jones report and whether the number's going up or down, you're missing the point. Pay attention to what these world leaders are saying. They're using this as a platform to usher us into a one-world economy. Gordon Brown said this international financial crisis has given the world leaders a unique opportunity to create a truly global society. That's a direct quote. He said the United States and Europe are going to be key to forging a new world order. That's another direct quote. He said, "Uniquely in this global age, it is now in our power to come together so that 2008 is remembered not just for the failure of the financial crash that engulfed the world, but we can seize together this moment of change in our world to create a truly global society." In fact, former President George Bush, he was saying the same thing. He said, quote, "It is essential that we work together because we're in this crisis together. Together we will work to modernize and strengthen our nation's financial system so we can help ensure that this crisis never happens again."
Well, of course, I think it's important for our listeners to understand that this whole financial crisis has been engineered and planned for a long time, and we have a talk called the Financial Armageddon, which gives you the history of how they created this. But why would they do that, and why would they wreck not only our economy, but the economy of the entire world? Every nation in the world is being drastically affected by this, because that is the only way you're going to get all the nations to go along with this new economic order and the new world currency and this new world order that was planned thousands of years ago, and the average individual cannot connect the dots. But you go right ahead, Pastor, because you're absolutely right.
Well, it's just that they cannot connect the dots because they haven't, you know, it's again, it's the analogy we've used many times before, Dr. Monteith, talking about the final countdown, is you could have a 5,000-piece puzzle set, okay, and you could try to put it together, and that's, you know, if you're pretty persistent, eventually, you know, some year you might get it done. But how much easier, quicker would it be if you had the cover of the box? And I think that's what a lot of people are doing. They don't put the pieces together because they don't have the cover of the box. And that's what we're doing. And you won't have the cover of the box, folks, until you open up the game plan that God gave us 2,000 years ago. None of this is going to make sense. You're going to, why are these people doing this? It just makes no sense. It will make absolute perfect sense when you get the cover of the box, and that's what we've been trying to provide with the final countdown. There is a plan. Okay, and it all fits together once you see it. The European Commission President Manuel Barroso, he said this latest economic crisis, he said, quote, "We need to a new global financial order." Morgan Stanley Chief Executive John Mack called for a new global body to oversee this financial crisis. CFR member Jeffrey Garton and Timothy Geithner of the Federal Reserve both called for a, quote, "new global monetary authority, a global financial dictatorship, operating across the borders and forcing nations and corporations to register and adhere to strict monitoring and regulations." China, of course, recently, back in March, was calling for a new global currency controlled by the International Monetary Fund, and Russia was making kind of similar burps as well. This is really blunt. The director of the World Trade Organization, folks, announced in Paris recently that they are drafting the constitution of a single global economy. Now, hey, How do you still accuse me of being some wacko if that guy said it himself? And they said, quote, "This constitution would govern virtually every kind of business transaction, from buying lands to sweeping buildings." Even Henry Kissinger said, "All nations can now participate in a common world monetary system." In fact, they're not just calling for a one-world economy, Dr. Monteith. They're specifically calling for a one-world currency.
Right, but I think, of course, beyond that, of course, we'll come into a one-world cashless system, whether you'll either buy or sell this, you wear the mark of the beast. But they have to take us gradually. If it were to happen too suddenly, the people would object to it. But they're going to promise, good times are coming back again. We're going to have lots of money and lots of prosperity. You just go along with the leaders here, because we know what we're doing. And ladies and gentlemen, they do know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. Well, Pastor Billy, you pick up the story from there.
Well, and as far as the one world currency, tell me that there's not a plan for that. There's obviously a plan, and I just was reading direct quotes of the world leaders around the world who are calling for a one world economy and a government entity, if you will, to oversee the global economy. But, folks, there's also a direct plan to, as you just mentioned, Dr. Monteith, to go into a global single currency. And that's the recently at the G20 that they were urged to do that by a group called the Single Global Currency Association. It's pretty blunt. They met in Washington, and they said, quote, that the primary goal of the 1944 Bretton Woods Conference is what they're wanting to do is to continue to promote stable currency around the world. They're wanting to take it to the next level. And what they're trying to do is they're calling for support of people around the world to go ahead and, finish what they basically had started. And they're confident when people go down this route, that the world will embrace the goal of a single global currency. Listen to this. This is a direct quote. The world will embrace the goal of a single global currency to be managed by a global central bank within a global monetary union. This group, folks, was formed here in the U.S. in 2003. And they've already set a date, okay? Now, whether they achieve that date at exactly then or before, after, whatever, but this tells you how serious they are. They're not just talking about a single global currency. They're setting a date, and they picked 2024. Now, which is very interesting. You tell me this isn't a plan. The reason why they picked 24? Because that's the exact 80th anniversary of the 1944 Bretton Woods Conference. And they said that, it only makes sense. Quote, if the European Monetary Union can successfully provide stable currency to several countries, why not a global monetary union for all countries? That's a direct quote. And how are they going to do it? Same thing that they're doing right now with this economic quote-unquote crisis. We shall achieve this goal through education and persuasion. Okay? And you might think, hey, there's no way these people are going to pull it off. You're just too wacky. Folks, it's been going on for a long time. And it's been in the planning stages. 1913, you had the birth of the Federal Reserve, which was the beginning of the end here in America for our economy, because Article 1 of the Constitution says that Congress shall have the power to coin money and regulate the value thereof, not banks. 1944, you had the World Bank. 1944, you had the International Monetary Fund. 1944, you also had the GATT Treaty, which liberalized world trade. 1968, you had the Club of Rome was formed. 1973, the Trilateral Commission was formed. 1973, SWIFT came into view to help transfer monetary transactions around the world. 1979, you start seeing smart cards. We'll get to that in a second. Then you saw trade getting even more liberalized with NAFTA in 1994. 1995, here comes the World Strong Arm, folks, the World Trade Organization. 1999, you got the euro was born. 2002, you had the first euro coins and banknotes go into circulation. Then from 2002 forward, you start hearing people calling of a global tax. And it continues on right up to today, folks. In 2007, 2008, even prior to that, you had the deliberate plans to dismantle our economy here in America and around the world. In fact, our former governor here in New York, Eliot Spitzer, he exposed this. Mysteriously, 3 weeks later, he's out of office. As of last week, the article was still up on the Washington Post. The title of the article is Predatory Lenders Partner in Crime.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Pastor Billy Crone. Well, this is Dr. Dr. Stan Beck here. Our guest, of course, is Pastor Billy Crone of the Niagara Frontier Bible Church, and he was simply talking about that this whole financial debacle, this whole collapse was well known. Elliot Spitzer, the former governor of the state of New York, wrote an article that appeared in the Washington Post in February of last year. I think it was the 14th of February. And Governor Spitzer at that time pointed out that the attorney generals of every single state wanted to stop the predatory lending practices because they knew it would bring down not only our financial system, but the financial system of the world. And they wanted to intervene using state laws, and they were blocked. And 3 weeks later, the FBI leaks a story, which is, of course, against the law. But, I mean, who are you going to complain to? Because the FBI is the law. They leak a story to destroy Elliot Spitzer's career and to shift the focus on the fact that the government was actually doing everything they can, the Bush administration, to bring about this financial collapse to, well, you know, Elliot Spitzer had an affair with a prostitute and what a terrible man he is. And I'm not defending Elliot Spitzer's affair with an expensive prostitute. I'm saying that the FBI leaked that story because they wanted to shift your attention away from the fact that they were planning even in February of last year, well over a year ago, on bringing the whole world financial system down to bring in the world currency. Go right ahead, Pastor.
Well, that's just it. You know, most people haven't put that into play and thinking, well, that's just a coincidence. And no, it's called a cover-up, folks, and he was taken out, period. And most, why? Because they don't want people to find out, unfortunately, before it's too late, what's really going on. In fact, one guy, article, he made it clear the reasons why. He said the jury is still out on which way the United States will go on the issue of the global economic control by the UN. Most Americans will never know the issue is on the table until after the decisions are made. The media is not likely to address the issue, nor is it likely to be a topic of congressional debate. These events are taking place in other parts of the world with decisions being made by officials who are not elected by anyone. No elected official in the United States has any authority to alter or veto these decisions. Quote, the world is moving swiftly towards global governments. But that's still the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the Bible, Dr. Monteith, and the specifics that the Scripture says. How do you know that you're living the last days, even within this one sign of the one world economy? Little do people know that these same economic powers have already divided the world up into 10 economic kingdoms in order to assure proper control. Okay, and their plan is that each kingdom is going to be ruled by an individual dictator, who's going to be under the authority of a single world dictator. That's very interesting. But you might say, hey, there's no way that the American people are going to stand for this. Or, you know, if it comes to that, we're going to succeed. And some people are saying that. They're saying that what's coming down the pike, folks, is not only martial law, but you're going to see states succeeding from the U.S., et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because no way that the American people are going to stand for this, and they're going to put up a fight for it. Well, could very well be. And part of the plan might also be what's been also happening. If you put two and two together, it could very well be. But, you know, why has there been foreign troops being trained on American soil for quite some time? I don't know. You kind of look at it when it comes, push comes to shove. Another American might have trouble shooting another fellow American. But, hey, if it was a foreigner, they probably wouldn't have a problem, would it? But if that wasn't scary enough, folks, most people still don't get the significance of this world being divided up into 10 specific parts. Even by this economic club from Rome. And the reason why is because, again, most people have not read the scripture that talks about the coming, not only revived Roman Empire, but the Bible clearly says it's a ten-horned kingdom that would appear on the scene in the last days. This is found in Revelation 17. Check it out yourself. And he says this, the Apostle John, he says, and now understand this, his ten horns are ten kings who have not yet risen to power. They will be appointed to their kingdoms for one brief moment to reign with the beast, the Antichrist, and they will all agree to give their power and authority to him. But wait a second, you mean to tell me there's actually going to come a day when we're going to see a worldwide kingdom of the Antichrist, period, but not only that, specifically one that is split up into 10 kingdoms? Could that really happen? Folks, it's happening before our very eyes. And what in the world, again, do you think was going on with the birth of the European Union? What is that? That is a region of countries coming together economically with their own currency called the euro. But folks, what you've got to understand is it's not stopping there. We have right now the formation of the African Union, which is a region of countries coming together economically with their own currency that they're proposing, the Golden Mandela. There's been the call for the North American Union with the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. There's plans for the South American Union, the Asian Union, the Central Asian Union, the Pacific Union. Why, if I didn't know better, Dr. Monteith, I'd say the world's being split up in different economic unions right before our eyes. And, gee, I wonder how many they're going to end up with. My guess is it's going to be 10, exactly like the Bible said would happen in the last days.
Well, I think that people have to only look and see what's happening. Right now, of course, we're moving towards a North American Union, giving up our sovereignty as a sovereign nation. After all, our president has said, I am a citizen of the world. He's not a citizen of the United States. By his own admission, he's a citizen of the world. You can't have dual loyalty if you're the president of the United States. I think we know where his loyalty is. We're going to be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone as we explore this fascinating story, seeing prophecy being fulfilled. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Pastor Billy, go right ahead.
Well, you know, with the issue with the world being split up into 10 parts, exactly what the Bible said would happen in Revelation 17, that those 10 parts, those 10 kingdoms, if you will, then they're going to hand over their authority over to the Antichrist. That, you know, it just so happened, and I brought this out before, back in the 70s, the Club of Rome just so happened to split the world up, which is a group of economic advisors, split the world up into not 5, not 10, not 100, or excuse me, not 100, but they 10 regions that they split the world up. Now, you know, that's been on the books for 40 years, so to speak, but Dr. Monteith, I just had, just a few days ago, a fellow researcher from New Jersey email me this page, and if somebody wants the actual page, it's several pages in. It's from the European Commission. It's their website, folks. And it's several pages in. I'd love to give it to you over the air, but it's kind of a weird, long deal, and you'll never get it in one piece. If you can just email me, I'll be more than happy to send the link, and you can see this with your own eyes. But they sent me this. This is the European Commission's website. If you go several pages in into a section, it talks about, they give a picture of the world, of the European Union in the world, and they just so happen to have the world divided up into these chunks. And you can see the map with your own eyes. This is on their actual website. There's the North America chunk, Central America and Caribbean chunk, South America, Western Europe, Eastern Europe and Central Asia is another chunk, Mediterranean, Middle East, Africa, Northeast and South Asia, Southeast Asia, and Australia and Pacific is the final chunk. Now, for those of you who are hooked on math and with counting, that's 10. That's exactly 10. They have the map, folks, on the European Commission's website. It's just absolutely amazing. It's just in jest. We say this all the time, Dr. Monteith. It's almost like somebody's following a script. And that's just it. The script was written 2,000 years ago in the Bible.
And, of course, I've been following this for 47 years. You can just see this timetable unfolding every day, every week, every year. And we're moving closer and closer to the fulfillment of these prophecies. People say, how do you know the Bible is true? Well, the possibility that these things could be happening at this time, all of them coming together, are beyond the possibility of simply chance. There is a master plan that's being carried out, and we're witnessing the fulfillment of prophecy. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Pastor Billy Crone of the Niagara Frontier Bible Church. And Pastor Crone, would you like to get your website out so people would know how to get to your website?
Sure. You can check us at our new website. It's getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com, or you can just Google my name, or excuse me, don't use Google. they are watching you. And go to startpage.com and enter in my name, Billy Crone, C-R-O-N-E, Billy Crone, and that'll take you where you need to go.
All right, fine. Well, go right ahead with this story. Are we on point 10 now of the final count? I know we've done 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Where are we now?
We are on number 9
right,
on the
fine.
One World Economy, and hopefully next time we can finally get into the big finale, the Mark of the Beast.
All right, fine. Well, you go right ahead. We're doing great.
Well, the second sign that we know that we're headed for a one-world economy is not just they've got it all already in place, folks, for a universal banking system. It's all being unfolded before our very eyes. But that, remember, the Antichrist is not only going to have authority over the economies, he's going to have it down to the nitty-gritty. He's going to be able to control what you can buy or sell. And now in the past, you know, people could barter for food, you know, and it's like, yeah, well, I'm not dependent on nobody here. Or, you know, if you have cash in hand, you know, you can store cash and whatever you need something, you go pay for cash. So it's like, hey, listen, you ain't going to tell me what I can buy or sell. But if you got to a cashless society, then that's the final linchpin. And, folks, that's what's happening before our very eyes. If you're going to have a one-world economy, you've got to provide a universal currency. And that's already happened. And it's been a slow yet methodical, purposeful approach getting us used to a completely cashless society. Folks, let's just do the quote-unquote, pun intended, paper trail. We've gone from paper currency to electronic cash in no time at all. For instance, if we didn't have any money on us, then all of a sudden they came out these things called checks. You could write a check. Okay, but then if you didn't have money to write a check, then eventually it really went electronic, and you could just charge it to a credit card. But wait a second, if you wanted to be a financially wise person, you didn't want to pay the interest on a credit card, don't worry, they came out with a way to take it directly out of your checking account with the debit card or the ATM card. And now, folks, what they've done is they combine all these incredible convenient things into one, and that's what it is. It's the selling point is convenience. And they've come out with these things called smart cards. Now, smart cards, folks, are what's being hailed as digital cash or electronic purchases. And some experts are saying that these smart cards are leading us towards the world's first truly universal currency, because it doesn't matter what country you're in, you could use these things. And the difference about these cards, folks, you have to understand, is it's about the size of a regular credit card, but this one's got a tiny microchip in it, and it could store and retrieve information, okay? And you could use one card for all kinds of things. It combines everything for buying and selling. On that one card, it could be your personal ATM card. But more than that, you could use it for purchases everywhere, stores, restaurants, vending machines, gas, toll roads, everybody could accept it. You could use it to make telephone calls. You could use it to get access to certain programs. You could make internet purchases. You could use it to get access to buildings or vehicles or your computer. It could store all your passwords for every single thing you need a password to. It could store all your loyalty programs, not just grocery stores, but airlines. It could be used for rapid check-in for hotels or the airlines. It could be used for a personal identification holder, social security, driver's license, student ID, health insurance ID, voting information, picture, fingerprints, et cetera, et cetera. And, boy, wouldn't that be convenient? I mean, boy, with our hectic, crazy, busy lives, wouldn't it be awesome if we could get just rid of all that paper currency and that paper ID and all that kind of stuff, and we could combine it into one? In fact, it's being hailed as the panacea of society. Listen to what this person said. They said the immediate benefits of going to a cashless society would be profound and fundamental. Theft of cash would become impossible. Bank robberies and cash register robberies would simply cease to occur. Attacks on shopkeepers, taxi drivers, cashiers would all end. Urban streets would become safer. Security costs and insurance rates would fall. Property values would rise. Sales of illegal drugs, along with violent crime, should diminish. Hospital emergency rooms would become less overcrowded. A change from cash to recorded electronic money would be accompanied by a flow of previously unpaid income tax revenues running in the tens of billions of dollars. As a result, income tax rates could be lowered and the national debt reduced. Boy, don't you feel safer already? But that's not all. Smart cards not only promise to provide us a whole new sense of convenience and security, but they're very flexible. Right now, you can even use your cell phone. Cell phones are being doubled as cash machines, if you will. That's the latest thing. It's actually much more popular in Japan and the Far East countries, but it's come over here to America, and that you could pay with things, not even with a smart card. You could just use your cell phone with a wave of your cell phone. It's coming to different restaurants. They're doing the tap and pay and things of that nature, and McDonald's and all kinds of stuff, and they're saying, hey, if we do with this, there's no dialing, there's no ATM, there's no fumbling for a wallet or drop coins. It's so convenient. And you might think, well, hey, this is never going to catch on, but folks, it's already happening. Just in the year 2000, 10 years ago, folks, 4 billion smart cards were already issued. In fact, Europe is planning on using smart cards to give out to its citizens that they have to have if they're going to be able to access the governmental system. The Pentagon had made smart cards mandatory for 4 million troops in order to, listen to this, to secure doors, to check out weapons and military hardware, listen to this, to get cash and to buy food. Okay, it gets even worse. Right now, MasterCard they're planning on turning their debit cards into smart cards. So we got used to the ATM cards. Now we just, hey, here's something a little bit more convenient for you. Just take a smart card, will you? And then, speaking of MasterCard, they bought 51% of a company called Mondex. Mondex happens to be an electronic cash system in the world that allows for multiple currencies on one card. In fact, Mondex was so excited about this backing for MasterCard, they stated that this is the final stage of becoming a global reality. With MasterCard's backing, there's nothing to stop Mondex from becoming the global standard. But it gets even worse than that. What's even more weird is the president of Visa has hinted at taking these tiny microchips from their plastic smart cards and putting them into much handier, smaller things, such as even a watch or even a ring or even inside your body. Now, notice the trail, folks. We used to barter, but then we went to paper cash or coinage. Then we went from there to checks. Then we went from credit cards. Then we went to ATM cards. Then we went to smart cards. And now we're going backwards. We're getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, eventually into your body. I mean, what's next? Some sort of smart card tattoo or body implant? Well, we'll get to that, Lord willing, the next time with the Mark of the Beast. They've actually have that technology. They could actually tattoo it on you. It could be an implant or it could be a tattoo that you can make economic transactions with. But one thing that I did find was very interesting in research, Dr. Monteith, was Mondex. The company Mondex supposedly stands for Monetary Dexter, shortened form for that. And if you look in your own with your own eyes, folks, in a dictionary, you will see that monetary means pertaining to money. That's the dictionary explanation. Pertaining to money. Dexter means right hand. Gee, where have I heard that before? Again, it's almost like somebody's following the script. And you might think, again, well, hey, nobody's going to do that. There's no, that's just a coincidence. They're not really going to, you know, have a system that's going to be implanted into their bodies to make economic transactions. Folks, it's already happening. It's been happening for years. In fact, it's the new wave. What do you guys, are you behind the times? Don't you want to be cool like these people? Club goers right now, folks, in Spain, and it's in different parts of the world, are getting implanted with microchips, not only to ID them, but for payment purposes. Listen to this. Being recognized has never been easier for VIP special patrons of the Baja Beach Club in Barcelona, Spain. Like a scene out of a science fiction movie, all it takes is a syringe-injected microchip implant for the men and women of the nightclub scene to breeze past a reader that recognizes their identity, credit balance, and even automatically opens doors to exclusive areas of the club for them. Listen, direct quote, they can buy drinks and food with the wave of their hand. And they don't need to worry about losing a credit card or wallet. Baja Beach Clubs International is the first firm to employ the VeriPay system developed by Applied Digital's VeriChip Corporation. The company touts this application of the chip implant as an advance over credit cards and smart cards, which, absent biometrics and appropriate safeguard technologies, are subject to theft and resulting in identity fraud. And they've also unveiled this technology. It was right after the 9/11 tragedy, and which, you know, hey, we got to turn this around. We got to figure out some sort of technology to help positively identify people. And so they use that as a platform to really launch this. It's similar to pet identification chips, and it can be read by a scanner or if somebody walks through a portal. And it's because the information contained on the chip, it contains a unique ID number. Listen to this. Last year, Art Cransley, the senior vice president of MasterCard, speculated on the possible future electronic payment media. Direct quote, listen to this. He said, we're certainly looking at designs like key fobs. It could be in a pin or a pair of earrings. Ultimately, it could be embedded in anything someday, maybe even under the skin. That's a direct quote from the vice president, senior vice president of MasterCard. The nightclub director has been implanted himself, along with several stars of Spanish TV, and he says, I know many people who want to be implanted. He says, almost everybody has piercings or tattoos or silicone, so hey, why not this technology, huh? It's almost like that paved the way for this. But then he says, the objective of this technology is to bring, this is a direct quote, to bring an ID system to a global level that will destroy the need to carry ID and documents, ID and credit cards. They also added that it will be useful for anybody else who wants to make use of this technology. And so, folks, how can you say that they are not utilizing this, again, getting us used to working at the extreme and working when you're into the ultimate goal? I'm not making this up, folks. You tell me that they're not going to get this stuff that is going to be into your body to make monetary transactions. That's what the senior vice president of MasterCard said. I'm not making this up. Okay? And folks, what they're doing is they're developing not only this global economy and not only a cashless society and not only with technology that can be implanted in your body and you could pay with the wave of your hand, remember, right hand or forehead is what Revelation 13 says, but they're getting it all connected into this matrix-type system, okay? Because remember, they have to be able to eventually be able to connect it all together and then grab control of it. So you can be ostracized from the system. And that's what we're seeing, folks. They are connecting all this economic system with a matrix-type system via the Internet. Everything is being completely tied together. And the economic transactions, you can pay for transactions online. You can access things online. You can get your money online. It's all online, online, online. Okay? And so now that we're used to that, and now we're dependent upon that, then they're going to eventually, if you understand the Antichrist system, they're going to start grabbing control of that matrix system. And, folks, that's exactly what we're seeing happen. Of course, we all know, hopefully, that China is already grabbing control of censorship with the Internet. But even the U.S. military is grabbing control of access to the Internet. Berlusconi, he's the GA president. He wants to, in his term, not only work on this economic issue. This is absolutely wild. He wants to utilize his presidency to regulate the Internet. Well, gee whiz, you think you have something better to do, unless, of course, you have another plan. Thailand is starting to restrict the Internet. And right now here in the United States, folks, there's a proposed bill called the Cybersecurity Act of 2009. Okay, and basically it would give the Internet, full control of the Internet, to the President of the United States. He have access to all privately owned information networks deemed to be critical to the nation's infrastructure without regard to the law. The White House would have the authority to disconnect anything, anybody, networks from the Internet, including, direct quote, private citizens' bank accounts records. And one guy says, well, I'm especially curious as to how you could take the telecommunications network off the Internet when they are a large part what the Internet is comprised of. He said, quote, and if my bank were taken offline, I would think about going into my branch and asking for all my deposits in cash. But that's just the point, folks. What if there is no more cash? What if it's all electronic? Okay, then what are you going to do? And that's exactly what they're working for. And you might think, well, hey, now you're really going on a limb. There's no way that these people are really planning for this. Well, folks, if you paid attention, there was a very interesting, insightful, and frankly scary quote in the last election campaign made by Rudy Giuliani. Listen to what he had said. He said, quote, we should develop a tamper-proof ID card. And then if you got the tamper-proof ID card, you would be allowed to work, pay taxes, get online, become a citizen, and follow the rules. The only thing he didn't say, folks, was buy and sell. Okay, and lest you think this is just some sort of weird, wacky conspiracy theory, folks, and we show this actual interview, a video on the Final Countdown study, is the classic Aaron Russo interview. And he was asked, first of all, how in the world did he get acquainted with the Rockefellers, and specifically Nicholas? And he says, well, I got a call one day from an attorney woman I knew, and she said, would you like to meet one of the Rockefellers? And he said, sure, I'd love to. And he said, we became friends, and eventually he began to divulge a lot of things to me. And he said to me one night, he said, there's going to be this event, Aaron, and out of that event, you're going to see we're going to go into Afghanistan. Now, as he says this, folks, this is years before, or quite some time before it happened. He said, we're going to go into Afghanistan so we can run pipelines out of the Caspian. Then we're going to go into Iraq to take the oil and establish a base in the Middle East. And then we're going to go into Venezuela and get rid of Chavez. He said, the first two they accomplished, Chavez, they didn't accomplish. And then he goes on, Nicholas, he says, then you're going to see these guys going into caves looking for people that they're never going to find. And he was laughing about the fact that you're going to have this war on terror, but there's really no enemy. And he says that, and you can never win the thing because it's an eternal war, and so you always have to keep taking people's liberties away. And so he asks Rockefeller, he says, well, how are you going to convince the people that this war is real? And Nicholas Rockefeller came back and said, the media. He said, the media can convince everybody it's real. He says, you keep talking about things, you keep saying things over and over and over again, and eventually people will believe it. And then Rousseau says, they created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. They created 9/11, which is another lie. And then through 9/11, you fought a war on terror. And now all of a sudden, you go into Iraq, which is another lie, and now they're going to do Iran. And he says, it's all one thing leading to another, leading to another, leading to another. And so then he asks Nicholas Rockefeller, he says, why are you doing this for? What's the point of this thing? You have all the money in the world you ever want. You have all the power, and you're hurting people. It's not a good thing. And Nicholas Rockefeller says, what do you care about the people for? You just take care of yourself, and you take care of your family. And then Rousseau said, well, what's your ultimate goals here? Listen to this, folks, direct quote. Rockefeller said, quote, the ultimate goal is to get everybody in this world chipped with an RFID chip and have all the money be on those chips and everything on those chips. And if anybody wants to protest what we do or violate what we want, we just turn off the chip. And then, of course, what he did, he assured that if Rousseau went along with this, that and he had joined his elite chip club, that his chip would be specially marked so as to avoid inspection by the authorities. And then, of course, he rejected it. And Rousseau said, the point is this, is that people have to recognize that this is happening before your eyes. Everybody is going to have to carry an ID. If you don't have the ID, you can't board a plane, you can't get on a train, you can't open you can't get in a bank, a major banking center, you can't walk in a federal building. He said, you've got to understand this is law, and it's happening now. They are destroying the value of the dollar. Everything is being taken away, and what made America a great nation and freedom of the individual is gone.
And I knew Aaron before he passed away. In fact, I talked to him many times, so I think it's fascinating. And ladies and gentlemen, of course, all of this you'll actually see for yourself and listen to on the DVDs, The Final Countdown. We'll be back in just a few minutes to tell you how to get them. Our guest, of course, Pastor Billy Crone of the Niagara Frontier Bible Church. Fascinating information. You'll want to see these DVDs. Well, Pastor Billy, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, you know, one thing I thought about was interesting. Of course, if you don't go along with this system, then, you know, they're going to take you out. And a couple of interesting things, Dr. Monteith, that just happened within a couple of weeks is an article came out from The Guardian over in the UK, and they talked about this mysterious chip that the CIA apparently has been using. And just in a nutshell, this chip that they've been using is they go and they pay these people to take this chip and hide it somewhere into people's homes or their vehicles, and so that it's like a homing beacon, and that then of course the people leave, and then within hours a flyby drone it launches a missile and takes the people out, and that's actually happening. And and one guy he said that he was a 19-year-old. He was hired by the CIA. He says he was paid 20,000 rupees, that's about 166 British pounds, to drop microchips hidden in a cigarette wrapper at the home of a particular target. And the guy says hours later, a drone guided by a signal from the chip destroyed the whole area. It, quote, there were body parts everywhere. Now, and that's very interesting. So we're talking about people getting a chip. And so these chips can not only economically make transactions. The technology is already here, and people are already doing it, folks. You need to understand that. But what's very interesting is this technology also has the ability for they could take you out with a missile. It could become a device. And then as we saw last time, Dr. Monteith, very strange thing. I thought this was interesting. On the One World Government, we dealt with this issue. But for some reason, right now, folks, the Census Bureau is going around, not taking a census. They're GPS marking the front door of every home in America. Gee, I wonder what they're going to do with that stuff. But then, if they don't want to take you out with a missile, possibly with these chips, because remember, you got to go along with this Antichrist system. If you don't worship his image, you will be killed, is what Revelation 13 says. They just came out with a patent in Germany, of all places, of what's called the killer chip. And that's implantable, that would eliminate undesirables. German media outlets reported last week that the inventor's application for what's called the killer chip. The basic model would consist of a tiny GPS transceiver placed in a capsule and inserted under a person's skin so that the authorities could track him easily. Model B would have an extra function. This is a direct quote, folks, from Fox News. A dose of cyanide to remotely kill the wearer without muss or fuss if the authorities deemed he had become a public threat.
And as incredible as it is, I'm sure that these things are all very real. We're living in terrible times. Pastor Billy Crone, thank you very much. We'll really look forward to having you on the other programs real soon.
Thank you, Dr. Monti.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, I hope you really have enjoyed Pastor Billy Crone. I always enjoy hearing the information he has. If you'd like, of course, to get the CD of the complete program where we do talk during the breaks, they are available. We have the first of five of the interviews in the final countdown series on CD in something called Countdown to Armageddon. And then we'll put the rest of them into probably the second. And the way things are looking, we'll even have three parts of three CD sets. But right now we have five available in one CD set. But you really would want to listen to these several times. The DVDs, there are 10 of them, Part 1, Part 2, and the Final Countdown. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Why is this important? Because you need to know the scriptures. You need to actually see the videos with your own eyes. And he's done a wonderful job. Pastor Billy's done a wonderful job of getting these videos and motion pictures and putting them on the DVDs so that you can watch them and it becomes very real. All of this is planned long ago. If you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, we talk about a book that was written in the early 1880s by a man named Bellamy. And, of course, Bellamy's book talked about, looking backwards from the year 2000, what the world going to be like in 2000. And as he says, a credit card would be just as good in Europe as gold once was. Now, this is 1880 he's writing. A credit card will be just as good in Europe as gold once was. Everything is on schedule. Bellamy, of course, wrote his book by channeling. I'm firmly convinced he was involved in the occult as well as his family. Understand that nothing happens by accident. You need to have the information. You need to study the scriptures. You need to understand that we're living in the most exciting times in history. And you need to have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any hope for yourself or your family getting through the difficult times that lie ahead, I'm not giving you a guarantee or we're going to get through it. But at least we want to know where we're going to spend eternity. And, of course, Pastor Billy ends each one of his 10 DVDs with, of course, an invitation to give your life to the Lord. Very well done, and we hope that you'll want to get the Final Countdown, Part 1, which is 5 DVDs. Part 2, we carry a number of other DVDs Pastor Billy's done. One's called Get a Life. It tells about his life in drugs and illicit activities and then coming to have a personal relationship with the Lord. We have another 4 DVD series on RFID chips with a lot of footage, actually film footage, put out by the people who manufacture the RFID chips, and they will help you to better understand what's going on. Of course, we have the book Spy Chips by Dr. Catherine Albrecht. We have the 4-tape set on spy chips and going into the background of RFID identification. We recommend these. Remember our telephone number. It's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. How can we communicate this to others who don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, who've never even heard of these things, who look at what's going on today as a financial crisis, but our leaders are going to get us through it? No, ladies and gentlemen. Our leaders, many of them are members of secret societies. They created this whole problem. If you haven't seen my talk on the Financial Armageddon, there's a DVD with PowerPoint presentation, plus, of course, the syllabus that goes with that, where you can read many of the famous speeches by people in the past who've been warning about what was going to happen financially. They didn't understand this spiritual aspect of it, but they saw what was happening financially. And there you'll actually see a copy of the letter that Franklin Delano Roosevelt wrote to Colonel House in November of 1933, talking about how the government of the United States was owned by the banks and had been owned by the financial elements in the major centers since the days of Andrew Jackson. Now, that was 100 years before. And then President Roosevelt goes on to say, and we're going to see a reenactment of that same battle. now only on a larger scale. And, of course, it's 80 years later, the battle is being